us pray prayer together on our knees. Let us pray prayer together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy.
Welcome to The Bible Speaks with Elgin Kerlock. The Bible Speaks is a weekly ministry of Harvest International. Our prayer is that The Bible Speaks will encourage you in your study of God's Word. You will be able to contact Elgin at the address given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here's Elgin.
Brothers and sisters, I welcome you in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. And as we continue our celebration of the season of Pentecost, I have invited back Dr. Ovidia Rulak to come and share with me a message that the Lord gave me while I was studying the book of Deuteronomy. And he didn't waste any time because the verses from chapter 1. And I was listening to a Bible scholar that I frequently listen to for just a deeper dive into the word, which I believe the Lord always wants us to take. And he was reading this particular scripture from the Amplified Version. And when he said it, it immediately jumped out, even though he was reading the entire chapter. And it came from chapter 1, as I mentioned, verse 6 through 7a. And I'll read it to you from the Amplified. It reads, "You've been here long enough. Turn and take your journey." For me, that had so many implications and applications that I just wanted to invite Dr. O here to make sure that I'm on track, right? That we're rightly dividing the word, because one thing that we have to do in order to be a teacher is be able to be taught. And I always like the opportunity to have a different perspective. So what I'll do is I'll kind of give you the lead up to it and then invite Dr. Oda to give us some of her insight, and we'll just see where the Holy Spirit takes it. So the Israelites arrived at Mount Horeb about 3 months after leaving Egypt, as detailed in Exodus 19, verse 1. According to biblical chronology, they spent about a year at the mountain, a period marked by profound revelations and the establishment of the covenant between God and Israel. And also during that time, the Lord provided guidance on the following things: the covenant and giving of the law, instructions for building the tabernacle, establishment of the priesthood. We also had the golden calf rebellion, and then the renewal of the covenant. For me, the period from the journey from Egypt to arriving at Mount Horeb, which, just by the way, that Mount Sinai is in that group of mountains. And so when you hear, if I say Mount Sinai, or if you hear people talking about Mount Sinai, it's in that same area. But it represents our journey from the bondage of sin to the realization of God's truth. It also underscores the need for us to seek God's guidance, not only during the trip, but when we arrive at our first assignment or destination. We must be still and listen for God's guidance through the Holy Spirit. However, there comes a time when you have received all of God's instructions and preparations that you need in order to move into your next season. God's statement delivered by Moses of, "You have stayed at this mountain long enough," was a divine prompt that the time of learning and preparation was complete. And now it was time for application and conquest. This was about more than physical relocation. It was about spiritual and communal advancement. God was urging them not to become complacent or to settle into a comfort at Mount Horeb. But now it was time to step out in faith, to embrace the challenges and the battles that lay ahead, and to claim the promises he had made to them. So with that, I will invite Dr. O to join the conversation and love to hear what you get from that same scripture.
Well, thank you, Brother Elgin. I was just looking at when we think about what took place, the revelation, being in that place that they were, the transformation, and it came from an encounter with God. And one of the things that, as I was looking at this, you know, revelation, there was a revealing. And I thought about the mountain. You know, oftentimes, yes, we think about the spiritual mountains, but sometimes we stay at that mountain where we're going through tests and trials, you know, mountains of health issues, mountains of financial issues, mountain of family issues. And we get to that place and it's like we become stagnated. But God is allowing us in a holding pattern, because what he's doing, he's strengthening us in the midst of what we're going through. We may not see the total picture, but that mountain, it's got to move. We're going to speak to that mountain. People say, I'm going to go around it. No. He says, speak to the mountain. Be thou removed in the midst of the sea. And that mountain has to cease. So when I begin to think about the mountain and moving into our next season, you talked about it not just being a physical location, but we also got to think about it mentally. Some of us, that move has to come mentally. There has to be a change of our mindset. We have to begin to think on those things that are good, those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, those things of a good report. We have to begin to think on those things, because a lot of times we are stuck at the mountain because of our mentality. We got to cast down those imaginations. We got to bring our thoughts into captivity. You know, that's oftentimes what I see, is that when God brings us to that place, that mountain look like we're stuck, but we're really not stuck. God is doing a work in us. And oftentimes we so focus on the mountain, how big it is, how wide it is, that we don't even realize and understand that God is saying, you're in my presence.
Yes.
You're in my presence.
And I made the mountain.
Come on. Yes, he made the mountain. And so I think about the transformation that has to take place mentally, the transformation that has to take emotionally, because we get in our emotions and our emotions can cause us to become stuck. That's and it's right. Like the more I'm wiggling, I'm in quicksand, I'm sinking deeper, when God has said, look, this is your training ground. Yes. I'm preparing you for what's ahead of you. And we got to make that change. Physically, we got to come up out some things. We can't stay stuck. And that's what God is saying to us. Listen, I brought you to this place. I allowed this place to come because I'm dealing with you now. I need you to refocus, redirect, because I'm ordering your steps.
That's right.
I got you.
That's right. No, and that's it, right? So that's why the next thing that touched my spirit was the word turn, right? So we came out of a traumatic event in Egypt to a solace at Mount Horeb for a whole year, where he let us regain, refresh, renew, and get strengthened. But now it's time to move. It's time for action. And the first thing we need to do is turn. Acts 17, verse 30 tells us, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. As we are being prepared to carry out the work of God, he is long-suffering. But once it's time to move, we must put aside all of those things that so easily beset us. Repent and be obedient. Turn also represents a mindset shift. As we are filled by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we should turn away from fear, doubt, and unbelief. If we believe that the Word is true, then we have no reason to fear any weapon formed against us, situations that may seem insurmountable, or attacks from the enemy. This type of resolve is the fuel for God to use us in a mighty way. John 8:36 tells us, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection freed us from the bond of being bound to sin. So it is our choice to trust God and do good. And the requirement of us turning from our wicked ways, turning from the things that keep us stuck or even feeling stuck, is required.
You know, when I was thinking about the word turn, that word definitely deals with a transformation. Mm-hmm. It deals with a metamorphosis. You know, you start out as that little in the butterfly stages, and it has to go through, it must go through the stages. And I say, even inside the cocoon, everybody want to, if you ever took and opened the cocoon, it will impede the progress, strengthening, because the struggle of the wings cause it to be strengthened. So when it breaks it open, it can fly freely. So when we begin to turn, it definitely comes to a place of mindset. If we're going to be victor, we can't keep a mindset of a victim when God has already made us a conqueror. Wow. We are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When we talking about turning, it must start in our mind, because I truly believe the battlefield of the enemy is our mind. And one thing we have to begin to realize and understand is, if we're stinking thinking, we're going to stay stuck. We won't be able to turn, because our mind is telling us that I can't do this or I can't do that, when the Lord says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. When I turn, the key thing is the mindset. Now, we could talk about repenting too. You know, a lot of people want to say, confessing the sins. Yes, you confess it. 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
That's right.
But he's calling for repentance in this time. A change, a transformation, presenting our bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God for a reasonable service.
Yes.
It's no time for us to be conformed to this world. There's no time for that. And he's telling us, turn, because you've been here too long. I done gave you the revelation that you need to move forward. I done equipped you because you have now had an encounter with me.
Yes,
what is your excuse?
All right. See, that's a nugget for all of y'all. I'm writing that one down. Okay. Next was the word take, which means possession, dominion, and providence. When we're told to take something by God, we should know that the battle has already been won. God also uses the term take when assigning a new responsibility or transferring authority. For example, when Joshua was commanded to take leadership after Moses in Joshua 1:1-9, it was an instruction to assume the role and responsibility that came with leadership over the Israelites. This type of taking involves stepping into a role ordained by God. And I believe that that is the case here, because the Israelites were to leave Mount Horeb and take the promised land, but mismanaged the journey. And that's what made it take so long.
You know, when I was thinking about take the journey, moving into the promised land, I immediately began to think about when Moses sent Joshua and Caleb and the spies out. You know, when they began to go over there, they were so busy focusing on the giants in the land. And their mindset was, okay, we are as grasshopper in their sight. So the mentality that they had, they were already defeated. But I love Joshua and I love Caleb. Man, we see these giants, but there's a promise here.
That's right.
It's a promise here. I got to get to the promise. So instead of focusing on the giants in the land, instead of focusing on what you don't think you could take, you can't. You got to realize and recognize that God has already made the provisions.
Yes.
And when Caleb and Joshua went into there, they bought back the evidence of what God had promised. So when he said, go and take the journey. Listen, again, I know it's got to start in the mindset. Get this mind right. You know, you have the word of God. When he say no weapon form, listen, the word says the weapon is going to form. You got to recognize it. See, we get lost on the record, the weapon being formed. We don't recognize and understand that God says going to form, but guess what? It will not prosper.
That's right.
We get stuck there. We got to realize and understand he's already made provisions for us to turn. He's already made provision for us to take the journey. He gave us those instructions. He gave us those directions, and he has made a promise. In order for it to be fulfilled, we got to meet the condition. And the condition is we got to turn. We got to repent. We got to do what? Take that journey. Make the decision that no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, that's contrary to what I may even be believing, I got to trust the word of God.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm making a note here of one of the conversations I want to have later this week, because the 10 came back and said, it is everything that God said, but. And that is a problem that we all have sometimes. We know the word of God. We know what he told us, that we even feel the purpose that he's laid on our heart. But so I made a note here that, you know, please tune in with me later this week. We're going to have a conversation to get off your butt.
Amen. Get off your butt. You know, I always say when I see a butt, that means change.
That's right.
Something's changed up until this point. But it's change. What did they allow? They allow fear to step in. They allow the doubt to step in. They allow unbelief to step in. But you saw it. You saw it. But you kept focusing on the giants.
On the giants. That's it.
Get up off your butt.
That's it. So in the final section, take the journey for me speaks to trusting God. But more importantly, understand that God works through us to accomplish his will on earth. No matter how far the journey seems and how long it takes to arrive, or our willingness to be obedient to what we've been told is the key to bringing God glory. Of course, when we think of taking journeys, the person that immediately comes to mind is Abram, found in Genesis 12, chapter 1, Genesis 12, verse 1. And reading from the NIV, it says, "The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you." And what a journey he went on, including being told he would have a son in his old age, but having to wait 25 years for that to happen. A journey implies a longer, more substantial experience that often involves personal growth or transformation. While it includes the physical act of traveling, a journey emphasizes the experience and the development that comes with it. It can be both literal and metaphorical, referring not only to physical travel, but also to the personal and spiritual quest and growth over time. Journeys are typically more open-ended and less predictable than trips, with a greater focus on the experience and what can be learned, or how one can change as a result of the journey. Yeah, I heard a pastor say once that there's a date when you are born and there's a date when you die. In between is the dash. And for me, the journey is the dash. And it's through that journey that we learn who we are in God's eyes, who we are in each other's eyes, and the growth that occurs allows us to then bless people as we learn more, as we grow, because God wants to use you to bless others. So when you're looking for a blessing, if your first thought isn't who you will bless when that blessing comes, you're going to find it's going to take a whole lot longer, because the tendency for us to get caught at the base of the mountain wondering which way to go, instead of understanding that we're there for refueling and we're there to get the strength that we need to move up that mountain. Because as we go from peak to peak, there's a valley in between. And it's during that journey that we gain the most knowledge. You know, you can, I've had times where I pray to the Lord and say, yeah, I've never had life this tough before. And he says to me, well, I've never been this close to you before. So take that and think about that as we really recognize the journey that we have to take. And I'll let you have the closing thought.
I was just thinking about when you were talking about Abraham and the journey, the instruction was to go from your country. So when we repent, change, and we begin to take that journey, sometimes it causes us, it demands of us to leave familiarity.
Wow.
It demands that. You know, we get comfortable. So he's saying, okay, I need you. And in that, it can mean even leaving away from family, familiar friends and family, because God says, I'm getting ready to do something new. And you need to be mindful of who you surround yourself with as you begin to take this journey, because everybody are not going to be able to go with you where I'm taking you. Everybody is not going to be able to speak life into you, because on this journey, they're going to be, like you said, there are going to be some valleys and there are going to be some mountains, some highs and some lows. And you need somebody to be able to speak to you and say, listen, we may be here now, but begin to speak life and say, you know what? God got this. You know, we're coming out of this. So we can't stay at the mountain or in the valleys and know that we know that we know. God is still with us is the main key that we need to understand. He wants us to take this journey. Life itself is a journey. When you were talking about the ministry, talking about the birth date and the death date and the dash in between, God said, I know your ending before your beginning.
That's right.
God already knew when we were yet a concept in his mind, before he placed us in the loin sack of the Father, all the sperm that was released, only one survived. Only one made it. So you got to know when you've been purposed and destined, God allow us to go through things for purpose.
Yes.
To fulfill destiny, that he will get the glory in the end. So, you know, once we came through that birth canal and embedded us in the womb of our mothers, listen, journey started way back then, y'all.
All
it
right.
didn't just start because we manifested in the flesh.
Yes.
The journey started while we were yet a concept in the mind of God. He was already preparing and placing us for our purpose and destiny. He already knew what we were going to go through. So he knew the mountains we would face. He knew when we would have that divine encounter with him, that transformation was going to take place. So I just want to encourage those who are listening to us today. Listen, you may be at your mountain. It could be a mountain of stress, or because of bills, mountain of stress because of health, a poor doctor's report, mountains of health because there's troubles and trials going on in your family. But I need you to take your eyes off the mountain and begin to speak to it, because, you know, fear will enter in. And fear, okay, fear eradicates our faith. Fear creeps in to allow doubt to enter in. And we questioning whether, God, did you tell me to go here? God, did you tell me to do that? Listen, he told you, know what he said. Follow the divine instructions. And yes. Also, you know, you can't let doubt and unbelief settle in. I often say this, Lord, help thou my unbelief.
Yes.
Help thou my unbelief. I know I heard you. I want to walk in obedience. I'm taking this journey. I'm not sure what I got to face on this journey, but I know one thing, that if you gave me instructions, you've already made provisions.
Yes.
You've already provided a way of escape from that which will try to hinder, stop, or block me. But in that which I go through, you are strengthening me. You're giving me revelation of who you are. And I thank you.
Yes.
That as I go forward in obedience, that I will receive the full blessings of what you have for me.
Amen. Amen. You know, and I wanted to share this last point that I saw in my studies last week. He said, when you listen to the description of what God promised in the promised land, it was 300,000 square miles. Even at the height of the Israel's power, when David was king, they never occupied more than 30,000 square miles. So take that and think about that. You know, we fall short sometimes because we think, wow, we have 30,000 square miles. And God say, well, if that works for you, okay, I was going to give you 300,000. So that obedience, the willingness to turn and then take that which he has told you to take. Don't stop because you think, oh, well, this is enough. I'm good right here. I want everything God has for me. I don't want to be walking with Peter and through that room with all of the boxes. And they say, so what's with the boxes? And he says, oh, that's all the stuff God wanted to give to you. I want my room to be empty.
Amen.
And so I'm ready to leave the mountain, to turn and take the journey. And understanding that that journey, nobody promised the road would be easy. But I don't believe
he brought me this far to leave me.
Amen, amen. So brothers and sisters, thank you again for spending this time with us. We want to thank Dr. Rulak for spending and sharing words of wisdom with us. I look forward to the rest of the conversations we'll have this week. And until then, God bless.
God bless.
I've wandered far away from God.
This program is cared for by listeners who care. Your prayers and financial investment in this ministry helps to keep the good news on the air. We look forward to hearing from you and invite you to write us at Harvest International, Post Office Box 6690, Ocala, Florida 34478. Again, that's Harvest International, Post Office Box 6690, Ocala, Florida 34478. Oh.